Okay, I am now recording. This is for the use of Sun Coaches Worldwide et al. Is everybody okay to be recorded? Anybody who's not, please let me know. Okay, so again, it is my great, great pleasure to introduce Theodora Fitzsimmons, who is one of our trainers. She is training, she's got several people now, one of them in Greece, and she plans to be moving there. Okay, I've got this big, long bio. What's important for you to know, she is a coach trainer. She is a coach mentor. She is a coach supervisor. Okay, she's an accredited coach supervisor. She's a PCC. She trains with the government, and her organization was one of the finalists for the PRISM Awards this past year. And the program they have is incredibly awesome. She has a doctorate in training and performance improvement from Capella University, as well as a master's in an undergraduate in psychology and business. She is brilliant. She speaks beautifully. She is so wonderful to be sharing her wisdom with us today. So I would like to welcome you, Theodora, and go at it.
Well, thank you, Kathy, and hello, everybody. It's my absolute honor to be with you here today. My tribe, you are my tribe. That's it. I adopted you, and you've adopted me, and that's it. It's just how it is. So, just set up here. You should all now be seeing the slides. Is that true? Yes. Okay, great. Adult development. And what does it have to do with coaching? That is an interesting thing that we're going to explore together. There are some thought leaders in this area, mostly that have come about in the last decade or two, and that they're writing about adult development, not so much about adult development and coaching. So that's an area that we can probably keep learning about together, actually. But I'm going to take a stab at it here in this presentation and in discussion with you. So, see if I can just, okay. So, our goals for today, our objectives are to understand the value and the depth of adult stage development and theory, and to distinguish between horizontal and vertical development. Okay, it's clear, it's important to understand it because we know a lot about horizontal development, and the vertical development is what's new. We're going to identify the stages of development available for leaders or for anyone, for any person, and we're going to introduce coaching vertically. And what I would like to do is explore together with you these questions. Why should I care about adult development stages as a coach or as a person for that matter? And how do you coach for adult development? Does it make a difference if I coach for adult development? Hey, and what does this mean for me in my own development as an adult? Have I grown up? I wonder about that. Or am I still not developed? And what happens if I coach somebody who is at a later stage of a development? Can I actually do that? Am I qualified to do that? Let's explore these questions together. Right. So what is development? So here's a definition of it. Development refers to how we learn to see the world through new eyes, how we change our interpretations of experience, and how we transform our view of reality. So far, the key terms here in this definition is new eyes, change interpretations, and transform our new reality. If these things are happening, development is happening. It describes increases in what we are aware of or what we can pay attention to, and therefore what we can influence and integrate. Okay, It is a change that we're undergoing. Okay, I mentioned horizontal and vertical development. Horizontal development is you are where you are. You're at whatever stage. Maybe you're in a new profession and you are learning, let's say coaching, and you are learning everything you can about it. You're learning about tools. You're taking this webinar today. What you are doing is you're expanding your competencies horizontally. So it is in accordance with the stage you are at. Okay, just hold on to that concept here. What we mean by vertical development is actually through your learning and your development, you're actually growing up to a new stage of development. A little bit more on the horizontal stuff. And this is stuff you're going to recognize for sure, okay? There are many assessments out there. You probably have heard of some of them. The MBTI, for example, the Myers-Briggs Type Integrator, and other kinds of assessments like the DISC, the Enneagram, and the TetraMap. Many, many of them out there that shows how we are different from each other. And that matters, and how we are different, and understanding where you are and with respect to another. That can help you communicate, that can help you in understanding others' differences with respect to yourself. So there are many, many assessments out there, and these are considered just as if we're all on the same plane and we are simply different in our characteristics, right? So we coach adults from a horizontal perspective. We do that all the time. You know, a client comes to us and says, I'm stuck around something. And to become unstuck, a coach will lead them into an examination of their values, their beliefs, their perspectives. And then we help them reframe with our questions and exploration with them, our partnering with them. And this will lead to ability of seeing something from a new perspective, okay? From a different perspective, okay? The resolution to their problem comes from seeing something differently. Okay. So what is vertical development then? So you can see up here in this picture, the little picture frame here, we have a picture frame. We could take this picture frame and we could move it. You see the frame, we could move it and look at different perspectives along the landscape that we're looking at, okay? But in vertical development, it's expanding and deepening our capacity to really, really see, understand, empathize, and respond in a diversity of situations. So it's how we're looking at what we're looking at and how much we can really, really see and understand. And we're growing as we do this. As we grow and evolve in this way, our experience of ourselves, of others, the world, shifts. It changes, leading to new ways of doing and being. That, in turn, leads to other changes that we cannot always foresee. So it's almost like, I wanted to show you a different person. It's almost like you've been looking at things one way for a very, very long time. And because of some kind of learning and experience, maybe it was a sun retreat. Something awakens in you and you suddenly see things in a whole new way. But it's not just a different way. It's a way that you're adopting that is actually new and different, and it will not go back to an old way of thinking. So hold on for that for a minute in terms of the concept. Now, I said that the adult development theory that we're talking about is new, okay? It's last decade or so by some key thought leaders, and I'll show you who they are in a moment. Okay, but it's not the first time we've talked about human beings developing. I mean, we've been looking at children developing. We've been very fascinated with children, how an infant turns into, from a very small infant, how it suddenly turns into a child, a toddler, who's learning their independence and saying no, to a preschooler, to a teenager who again says no a lot. And these are different stages of development, okay? But the assumption has been that everyone goes through these stages of development. Every human being, no matter who they are, where they are in the world, will go through these stages of development pretty much according to mostly their age and maturity, you know, as defined by age. But in the adult development theory that we're talking about today, that has emerged, the stages of adult development do not happen to everyone. This is important, okay? And is not dependent on age. Okay, so it is like this, and this is my favorite picture in the whole slide deck. It's like reaching a new stage, and it's like shedding, meaning like I'm showing in the picture, losing that layer of fur or shedding your old way of thinking and adopting the new way of thinking. And that's when you've reached a new stage. Okay. It's a matter of readiness. So when I say maturity, I'm not talking about age. I'm talking about the capacity to understand and work with different ideas, personalities, and situations without reverting to doing things the same way, with the same frame of mind. When you can do that, you're ready for another stage. Maturity comes from seeking, practicing, failing, succeeding, learning from all of it, and adopting the learning into new ways of both being and experiencing the world and others. So it's an attitude and it's built by experience. A stage is a level of development. It focuses on the growth and elaboration of a person's ways of understanding themselves and the world. Good news is, so you don't worry. I don't want you to worry, because wherever stage you are at, you are in the right place. Okay. It's everybody is okay in terms of where they are in their stage and their path in life. So I said there were some theorists, some thinkers, and certainly I have references at the end of this presentation, which I will make available to you for future reference. These are some of the thought leaders here. Keegan, Cook, Grutter, that was the quote on the first page. Rupin, Torbert, okay. And this is how they look at the stages of development. So if you think about it, basically even if we looked at just Keegan's form of mind with socialized, self-authoring, and self-transforming, I want you to notice the percentages at the right of the on the right side in the right column with the circle. Most people are in the middle stages of the adult population. Most are 67% are at the at the self-authoring, or if you will, these other labels, expert and achiever, for example, levels of development. That's good news. And that's a good place. And that as you go to the earlier stages, there are fewer adults at the earlier stages and fewer adults at the higher stages of development. I wonder if I should stop here for a moment and see if there's any questions so far. Let me just stop the share here and see what's going on in the room. Mm-hmm. Hi, everybody. Any questions so far?
I have one, Theodore. I can start the prime the pump here. So looking at this last slide you had, my tendency is to say, oh, I want to be among the top. I want to be one of those top people. That desire or that feeling that, oh, I want to be better than I think I am or whatever, how does that fit into this sort of growth pattern?
Well, it is true. One of the findings from the I do assessments in a couple of assessments that measure this adult development, and what we find is that most people going into it self-rate themselves higher than what they end up being based on the and that this is common and it's understandable. And that's why it's I don't know, it's either good or bad. The way do you want to find out this information? It's good if you want to learn from it. And just like any assessment, you know, a tool that assesses where you are, it's just a piece of information. It's not all of you. It does not define you. But it gives you a little bit of information and some clues about what you could do to develop, maybe some ideas. Okay. So with that, it's common that people rate themselves higher than they truly are. But it's also true that there are fewer people that are at the higher levels, and we'll see why as we continue. I mean, it takes some experience, specific experience, to really catapult you to that higher level of thinking. And, you know, I guess, you know, people like Gandhi or Mother Teresa, I mean, these are the people who really, really are there, right? From the history. If that helps.
Theodora.
Yeah.
Charlotte. I find that when I'm operating at one of the high levels, which I think I can sometimes, there is resistance from people at lower levels who don't share my vision or my imperative humanistically. And also a question, what is an ironist? Ironist?
An ironist.
Yeah. Ironist.
Not someone with irony. Although that would be ironic, Charlotte. So that's great. So yes, certainly. People who are at those higher levels, probably like yourself, Charlotte, are going to be somewhat outside of the population, and they will not be understood. It's true. So they too might use some help in coaching to help them, you know, embrace the difference between others' perspectives as well. But I definitely, I could see how that could be difficult.
There's a new potential client base.
There you go.
Are you Charlotte?
There you go.
I have a question, Theodore.
Yes.
Hello. hi. Does my development stage have something to do with my performance as a coach? Is there a relationship?
Well, I think that we are in a really good position. If you think about what we do, We're constantly questioning. We're constantly, you know, exploring new ideas. I think that the whole engagement of coaching, becoming a coach, and working with others really does affect us in our stage development. I can't point to any studies. That's been my experience too. I feel like I've grown a lot since I became a coach, for sure. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Shall I move on? Okay. All right, hold on. So this is just something from Keegan. It's an interesting diagram to show a little bit about how his three stages look different. In the socialized mind, I am my relationship. I am just one of many, and I follow the rules. I don't see myself as distinct from others. I'm just like part of the mess, if you will. That's the socialized mind under his stages. Under the self-authoring mind, where most people are sitting, I have an identity and I make choices. I see myself as someone separate of the rest, and that I have my own choices. And then if we look at the self-transforming mind, I hold many identities and I embrace paradox. I mean, I have to say that some of these concepts, you know, if I don't understand them, which many of the advanced ones I don't, it's only because I haven't evolved to that stage yet. But it is fascinating nonetheless. So what does make vertical development happen at the end of the day? Okay. The primary conditions for vertical development are heat experiences. This is going to be the catalyst, the thing that makes that's happening, that's going to cause me to do something different. Right, or to start looking at something different. It's the beginning point. And then the next part is colliding perspectives initiates the process. And then it's elevated sense making, which is how it integrates. And the sweet spot is the place in the middle. And we come in, coaches come in, absolutely come into this model under number three. And I'm gonna take them apart for you, not just this diagram, but more specifically. So, a heat experience, what's that? One faces a complex situation that disrupts and disorients a habitual way of thinking. So you're suddenly at this place like, what is this? This is not what I'm used to. This is disorienting to me. Okay, and then he or she discovers that the current way of making sense of the world is inadequate. Therefore, the mind starts to open up and search for new and better ways to make sense of the challenge. So this initiates the growth process. Well, so you can think of those who don't evolve to anything, who don't like evolve in their stage development, if they don't seek out complex situations, maybe they won't have as many heat experiences. But somebody who is learning new things and questioning new things, yes, they're going to run into heat experiences and therefore have an opportunity to evolve. And the part of colliding perspectives. The person is then exposed to people with different worldviews, opinions, backgrounds, and training. This both challenges his or her existing mental models and increases the number of perspectives through which he or she can see the world. So considering these other perspectives enables us to develop. And if you think about it, if I'm ready to expect that every single one of you has a different point of view and that every single one of you's view is perfect, just the way it is, then that's really something. Instead of, oh no, it's my view. My view and maybe other Americans' views are right. You know what I mean? It's just, if I'm ready to accept it, that's something. And then the elevated sense making, where we have a part as coaches. The person then uses a process or coach to help him or her integrate and make sense of these perspectives and experience from more elevated states of development. A larger, more advanced worldview emerges and with time stabilizes. So there's the emergence of this worldview and how it stabilizes that takes us to that next stage. This is how integration of new advanced ways of thinking happens. So how does coaching help adult development? This is all going to be new for you, I'm sure. By doing what we do, by actively listening, by partnering with clients in their thinking process, by asking powerful questions, by challenging assumptions, interpretations, and limiting beliefs, by creating the opportunity for clients' new learning and insights, by helping clients establish goals and holding them accountable for achieving their goals, by coaching. That's how we do it.
Theodora?
Yes.
I would love to make a comment about this.
Please.
Look at how the results game and the well-being game help with the stabilizing piece of that third stage. It's just so amazing to me how the Sun method just really, really supports this.
Right.
Very cool stuff.
So, yeah. So not only are we coaches, but we are Sun coaches. We are Sun coaches, and we have something more. And again, you may have heard me say this, that I chose Sun because I also studied brain-based coaching at a different opportunity, and I saw that everything aligns to come back to Sun being the best system, overall coaching system, to help with human beings and development. I really believe that. And that's why I came back to Sun. Right. Okay. Back to the slide deck. So the more I can step back and analyze and reflect on my own behavior, feelings, desires, needs, the more I can operate from a place of wholeness, peace, and strength. So if this is what I'm doing as a person, and this is what we're helping our clients do, you know, we are both evolving. So there's the shift between the stages. According to Keegan, misspelled his name. It's K-E, it should be K-E-G-A-N. It requires a shift in thinking from what we know now. So the whole thing is going to shift. What I know and what I am is going to change, and what I have is also going to change. So the subject, the I am, self-concepts we are attached to currently and thus cannot reflect on or take on objective look at. So if I'm attached to it, I can't be objective about it. They include personality traits, assumptions about the way the world works, behaviors, emotions, etc. This has to fundamentally change in order for you to actually get to the next stage, as well as the object, self-concepts that we can detach ourselves from, that we can look at, reflect upon, engage, control, and connect to something else. And without getting into a great deal of detail on that, let me refer to you to Keegan and the reference of how that all works. Now I'm going to talk to you a little bit. We're going to do a little bit. How much time we have? We have a little time. Good. This is where the fun starts. I have a chart for you on several of these stages. And then we're going to do a little practice, if you will, or thinking about maybe some practice on each of these stages. Here's a pretty low stage in the adult development. Actually, this stage is a stage that actually has also been identified with somebody who enters a teenage years, you know, like 15 years old kind of thinking, where the focus is on their own needs, their own agenda, and you know, it's hard for them to see away from that, to see forward. Some adults may still be stuck in this place. All right. It's not a very flattering, I wouldn't want to be in this place of being an opportunist or being too self-centered. But the blind spots are what we should pay attention to. It's somebody who says that I have to win at all costs, seems to lack emotional intelligence, and is unaware of their impact on others. So let's say George showed up. And George says this. He says, I'm sick and tired of my adult children asking for things for me. It's got to stop. My daughters are 33 and 35 years old, and they don't need me anymore. I have a new life now with my new wife and young children. I can't focus on them anymore. How do I make them stop asking me for my time and for support? That's your client. What are some questions you would ask this client, knowing a little bit about some of these stages of development? Oops. Let's try and see if there's any questions that you would ask this person. Is anybody going to share a question? What would you ask this George?
Don't be shy, guys.
I think I would ask him, this is Jen. I think I would ask him, why does he think his grown daughters want to spend time with him?
Good.
I think my focus on my questioning would be in looking at what they're lacking, is to try to get him to become more aware of maybe what his grown children are feeling.
Right, so this fellow doesn't seem to have the knowledge of this. He doesn't have the emotional intelligence to understand that there might be something there, that they actually do have a need. We don't know very much about the story, but just to illustrate that people come from all stages of adult development.
Theodora, can you please put the slide of the client again?
Yes.
And it looks like Alan Young might have a question.
So this is Alan. So I don't think this person would come to me as a client. And I was chuckling to myself when I said, so how's that working for you? And that would not be a coaching question I would ask, but that's what I was thinking. So if a person like this came to me as a coaching client, my assumption would be they're realizing something is not working well for them and it could be better. So that's a very positive sign. So what questions would I ask? I might ask something as simple as, what do you want out of your relationship with your older daughters?
That's great. That's great. Yeah. So at the end of we're going to look at some other ones now, some other scenarios kind of in order of stage development. And at the end of them, I'm going to ask you, who do you think is coachable and who do you think is not? Hold on to that question. I'll ask you at the end. There's George. Write his name down if you can, so you can remember who he is. So here's the next one where there is 11% of the population. It's called group centric. So somebody who is, need everybody to be on mute, please. Thank you. So pleasant, identifies with a group, but not a clear independent self. Doesn't want to stand out to be different. Okay. Lots of other things. So the blind spots are what we want to pay attention to. They may have some internal experience of feelings. Maybe their shadow is coming out. Can't easily put themselves in the place of others. So again, limited emotional intelligence, maybe dependent on others for their very self-definition. I'm only okay if others accept me. Maybe they're unaware of their authentic self and not yet independent self that is separate from the group. Not quite yet. Helen. I think I'm going to be fired from my job. My boss expects me to complete a report by Friday, but I don't have time. He doesn't understand. I help everyone in the office, including him, with all the tasks he doesn't have time for. In fact, I organize all of the office parties. I buy all of the party supplies. I make the cakes and buy the snacks. Doesn't he see how hard I'm working? What questions do you ask?
Hi, it's John. I was struck by what makes you think he's going to fire you? Because on all that other stuff there, it kind of seems to go in a different direction. But I'm curious about how she's come to that conclusion.
Good.
I might ask what she thinks is important for the boss.
What is important for the boss? Maybe
because she seems to focus a lot on the party side instead of the report.
And perhaps that's because she's more focused on being part of the group.
Might be.
Yeah. Doesn't have her own identity here.
I would ask her, how do you want to be seen?
How do you want to be seen? Good.
Maybe, what do you expect from yourself?
Good, good.
I might ask, what might happen if you didn't do those things?
Okay, what might happen? Thank you, Terry. Good. So these are great questions. And I can see how these might help her, you know, this is coaching and it can help her maybe not be this way anymore. Maybe she'll learn something from this coaching and get some insights that will take her to a different place. So great. All right. Let's look at the next one. Yes?
I would like to know from Helen the hierarchy of duties. What is the lowest priority to the highest priority right now?
Very good. All great questions to get this person to the next way of thinking. All right. Now here's one where we have a lot of people hanging out, probably many of us too, all right? And that is, we can see ourselves as separate from rather than subjected to group's perceptions, okay? We are separate from the group. We can have our own perception and our own choices. We are different and we have specialties and we can make our individual contributions. Right? I want to be recognized as an expert in this place. Right? I'm pretty good here. I'm good at what I do. So I'm not going to ignore the middle column again for the form of thinking and focus on the blind spots. I might have an inability to delegate, not trusting others to do it the right way, the right way. Why? Because I am an expert. I own it. I am the expert here. Okay. Maybe I'd be seen as arrogant because I just say I'm the expert. Maybe as a leader, I don't set clear expectations to everyone else. And that I micromanage because I know how to do it right. You can't possibly know as much as I do. Maybe I lack empathy. Maybe I'm disconnected from my higher management in my organization because I can't understand the strategic goal. I'm too focused on what I do now with using my expertise on my team. Maybe I'm just too rigid and not able to see the big picture. So here we go. Here's this nice fellow, Max. Look, he's smiling. I'm really upset today because of my performance review results. No one could possibly have done a better job than me at managing my department. I know everything that needs to be done, and I can do everything myself if necessary. I don't believe the comment that I do not delegate. Most of my people know what they are doing and need me to take over their tasks only when it's the last minute. My manager says I need to improve communication with staff and with management. How can that be a complaint when we are 100% on target all the time? Okay, coaches, what are you going to ask this fellow, Max?
Are you tired of carrying the whole load?
Yeah, are you tired of carrying the whole load? Well, no, I can. I'm sorry. I'm being Max.
What would be different if you delegated to people in your department?
Okay, good. What else?
If you were to win the lottery, what would happen to your department? And you didn't show up at work the next day, what would happen in your department?
That's a good question.
Can you hear me, America?
Hi, Erica.
Hi. I would ask this guy what the being upset is showing to him.
Okay. What are your feelings saying? Yes. Oops, I'm so sorry. How dare they? Oh, man. Sorry about that. I think I know to mute my own phone. I'm sorry. Okay, any other questions for this fellow?
I would maybe ask how, what is important to him in the relationship with these individuals, his boss as well as his team, what values, and then maybe even what values are coming up for him.
Great. Great potential for this person to grow. Excellent. Any other questions?
If he says, his manager says he needs to improve communication, I think it might be useful for him to ask his manager, give me an example of improve, or two or three or five, of what I need to improve in communication. Because to me, that's so broad. I just couldn't leave it at that.
Great. Yeah, he certainly doesn't understand what that means. Okay. Well, I think that through your coaching that this guy would definitely see some other different ways of looking at what's going on here. Self-determining achiever, 30% of us are in this category. So a lot of us are there. So this is one where we may be busy and we may have issues with being too busy and overwhelmed. Why? Because we are busy thinking about things and questioning things. We're in this place and influencing and persuading others. This is what we're about. We feel empowered to make things happen. Work-life balance is a common concern because I have just too much to do. I'm very, very focused on achieving. This person can be highly self-critical and yet driven at the same time. And the blind spots include not seeing that there's more to life than just achievement, relying on the rational thinking and the scientific way of knowing. And they are limited by their driven behavior and their will and believe that everything can be figured out. Can you see how this is different from the expert? Okay. It's not that they believe that they have the answer, but they believe that it can be figured out. They don't know yet about being present and just being. They're really doing, and less being, which is what we're about. Okay. Being productive is the only way to be. So here's Amy. I am overwhelmed, and I need help with getting a handle on everything I have to do. I have a great job, a great family, and a great life, but there just aren't enough hours in the day. I feel like I have the common problem that career women have. I want to do it all. And I really, really do want to do it all and also find some time for me. What questions would you ask her?
I would ask, what things are most important to you right now in your life?
Yes. Right.
I would ask her, if you weren't overwhelmed, what would you like to be instead?
Very good.
I would ask, what is more important than do it all?
Very good.
Probably I would ask, what is the most important change that she wants to have in this situation?
Yes.
I would ask, based on your technical abilities, how would you like to use them for creativity? What dreams do you have for creating?
Very good. Yes, with those questions, I think this that Amy would be able to see that she does have her answers. Yes, absolutely.
You know, it is interesting that this one and the one before are the most people because they're the most clients. They seem to be kind of in that world. At least this is this one in particular is a very familiar client scenario, seems to be.
Yes, I agree. So here's a question for you. From the experts to the achievers, who is most likely to seek coaching? The experts or the achievers? What do you think?
I would say the achievers.
Achievers. Yeah, I was going to say the achievers. The experts aren't often open to help.
Right.
The experts are told to get a coach many times.
Yeah. Right. And maybe you're getting a little bit of a clue as to why they're not as respondent responsive to coaching as somebody else. For example, an achiever.
Theodora, what you're teaching us and showing us the steps, and I imagine running under those steps is the life purpose. Leading up, remember that old picture with the roses and the arrow going up? That's what it reminded me of, the whole Sun program. I think if we show them, the achievers and the experts, there are higher levels that you can imagine. Here is what could be next for you. What do you want to do with this information? That's really exciting to me.
Great.
Follow the yellow brick road, see where it leads.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. Okay. Well, there are one more scenario that I'm going to share with you having to do with the catalyst. Only 11% of the population. So here's somebody that can seem a little bit lost, kind of adrift, and even though you can tell that they're like really brilliant, but they're just kind of aloof. And meaning they're like detached, if you will, almost detached from what else is going on, maybe in the office or in their world. They're focused on questioning. That's what they're questioning. Why is this? What's underneath their choices and actions? Others' choices and actions. They're just contemplative and questioning, testing assumptions, right? Their blind spots are that they're thinking, they're just stuck in this thinking of everything is relative. and they seem to not be able to focus on the on one thing at a time. Yet at the same time, they have the sense of being a little bit self-righteous, because I can do this. I can do this. This is kind of a superpower I'm kind of able to do, and so many other people can't. And they also resist, you know, being told, like from hierarchy in the workplace. It's like, what can we do now? They're almost like driven to catalyze, to make change. They're so full of questions and they're driven to that. And here's one more for you, this fellow here, Tim, to think about. I was asked to seek coaching because of my perceived inability to communicate with my staff. I'm really focused on bigger things. I don't really fit well with team management. I wish I could be allowed to be a full-time strategist. What should I do?
And Theodora, we are pretty much at the end of our time, so we don't have time for people to actually weigh in on this one. But it is a very good one for people to contemplate.
Okay, so we've run out of time there, but I will say the rest of the slides has a few other stages, but no scenarios, as well as the references from where I got some of this material for you guys to enjoy.
So I will put that out on the website so that people can download that if they want to. Under it'll be under the members only piece of the website. And I did remember to record, so I'll get that to Terry as well, so she can upload it. So, Theodora, as always, this was just wonderful, and my head is just spinning with ideas and things I want to go and look more into. So I want to thank you so very, very much for this. We had 27 people here today, 28 people today, and so... next month will be on, next month is me. on the 10th of February will be our teleseminar, Tuning into the Field, How Your Presence Changes Everything. So thank you again, Theodora. Thank you, everybody, for being here.
Yay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pamela.
Thanks, Theodora. Goodbye.
Thanks
so much.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye, Mary.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Lots of people. Wow. That was one of the biggest ones we've ever had. And it's fascinating. I find that so fascinating. I can't wait to see your slides because I'd like to know more about all the different stages. I see so many of my clients and my students in this, so it's and myself as well.
Yeah.
I've done that right there now, things like that. So I love it. Good stuff.
Good. More to learn on it.
Yep.
Of course, we're growing and learning.
Yes, as we are. And you'll get a CCE certificate because this is the first time you've used this one, done this one.
Yes.
So you'll get a CCE certificate for it as well.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Okay. All righty.
All right.
Thank you again. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thanks, Kathy.
Bye. Bye-bye.